Lord, this morning we just thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're here and that you're here in a powerful way. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we would all be here in a powerful way, because when we're here, we get to meet with Jesus. When we're here, we get to hear from you. Lord, I bless everybody that's here, even our mini YWAM team that's here this morning, just coming to bless us as well. Lord, bless them abundantly in Jesus' name. Lord, bless all of us. Let us hear this morning. Let us receive from you and encourage our spirits in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about prayer, and we're going to continue to talk about prayer for the next wee while because for the week of Easter, we're going to pray every night from 7:30 to 9:30. That's two. And so as we start this morning, I want to encourage us about praying bigger than us. I want to encourage us to pray bigger than us. There has to be a time in our walks with God, in our adventure with God, maybe that's a better way to describe it, when we pray bigger prayers than us. In other words, we can't handle them if they come true. We just can't cope with it. What am I even praying, Lord? I don't really want that to happen. Let me tell you a funny story just to try and illustrate the point. Last year, Carl the Viking, everybody remember Carl the Viking? He's a crazy Viking. He's not really a Viking. He just says he is. He's from like Viking blood, but this is just him. And so you've got Carl, and he comes up to me in a conference about a year ago, and he says, we were at the conference, he says, I'm going to come speak at your church. And I'm like, okay, who is this guy? Who is he? You know? I'm like, what? So he goes, yeah, I feel like God's saying I should speak at your church. And I'm like, why does God not tell me this? So then I had to go pray, and I was like, God, what is going on here? And I'm praying from a place of worry, and who knows that you don't need to pray from a place of worry. God says, don't worry about anything because he's got it under control. And so I remember in the Sunday morning, he's coming and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going to happen with this guy? Is he going to be crazy? What's going to happen? But I was like, God, I've got to trust you. So anyway, I come to pray. And here's the thing I want to illustrate the point with. I came to pray and my mind was thinking one thing, but my mouth was saying another thing. Ever get in that position? You know when you're praying bigger prayers than you, that your mind is thinking one thing, but you're praying a different thing. And so in my mind, I'm like, God, just make sure it's okay. Make sure everybody's okay, don't make sure nothing gets too crazy, we don't know this guy, just protect us, all this kind of stuff. But my mouth was saying, God, come and just wreck us, come and do incredible things, just blow us away, just do whatever you can do, you know, this. And in between the prayer, I'm like, Which one am I the one that's speaking, or am I the one that's thinking? And I want to encourage you that we are complex human beings, and sometimes our mind has to catch up with what our heart and our spirit and our soul wants to pray. Our heart and our soul and our spirit has no limits. It's tuned into God because our spirit has been born again. But the part that hasn't been born again yet is our minds. And so our minds, a lot of the time, has to catch up with our hearts and with our soul and with our born-again spirit. So my spirit was praying, God, come and do incredible things. Come and wreck us. I mean, that morning, if you were here, some people were on their faces, some people were on their knees, some people were on their backs. Because you see, when the presence of God comes, who can stand? I mean, when the presence of God comes, nobody can stand in his presence. And you know what the thing I loved about Carl was? It was that some people were like, oh, if you push me hard enough, I'm going to go over. Carl was just like, I'm not touching anybody. I'm just going to pray and let's see what God does. And I mean, people were just falling on their knees in tears. Some people were lying down and resting in God's presence. Some people were on their faces because they were just repenting over things. God was moving that morning, and man wasn't even in the picture. Man was not in the picture. And why did it happen? Because we were praying bigger prayers than us. We were praying bigger prayers than us. I was praying bigger than my mind could cope with. And this morning I want to encourage you to start praying bigger prayers than your mind can cope with, but that align up with the Word and align up with Scripture and align up with God's heart. And trust me, your spirit wants to pray an awful lot bigger than your mind ever does. And your spirit probably will always want to pray bigger than your mind does. And that's why the Bible says, refresh yourself in the Word, because it's going to renew your mind and get your mind to catch up with your spirit. And so this morning, we are limited by our minds, but we are unlimited by our spirits, because there are no limits to what God wants to do through us. And I thought, I was thinking about big prayers, some of the things that can hold us back is that we come to an event, or we come to a situation, or we come to an issue, and we go, that is so big, this is so overwhelming, this is so overcoming, I don't know how I can pray in this situation. And in that moment, it's very difficult, because what we end up doing is we focus on the event, we focus on the situation, and we start to try to work out how could this happen, or how could this get better, or what the solution could be. We end up trying to be God in that moment. And I want to encourage you that it's a subtle shift, but it's a big one, to switch from looking to the event and look to him and go, God, you're amazing. You can do all things. Because then it does not matter what the event is. It doesn't matter how bad the cancer is. It doesn't matter how bad the issue is. It doesn't matter how big the bill is. If we look to God, he's bigger than absolutely everything. And so this morning, I want us to do that, because when we look to him, there are no limits to our prayers. When we look to the situation, it's hard to stir up the faith sometimes. In fact, it could be near enough impossible, as we would look at the impossible situation, we try to challenge ourselves in faith, but our mind is constantly doubting, and it's undermining how we pray. Instead, I want us to look upwards, see Jesus on high, realize there is nothing too hard for him, and then pray. Pray and let God do what only he can do. Just say, God, come and have your way. I don't know how to work this out. I don't know how to figure this one out. I don't even know how to pray in this situation. But God, come and have your way in this. And that's a subtle shift, but it will change everything as we pray big. And I want us to pray dangerous prayers. And we're going to play a video. Here's the thing. In just a moment, we're going to play a video. But if we start to pray big things, you're going to get in big trouble sometimes. You're going to get in big trouble sometimes. If you start to pray for big things, big, radical, God-shaped things that are huge, far bigger than yourself, some people don't like it. And some people end up being against you. And some things don't work out the way you expected. And in just a moment this morning, we're going to look at the prophet Elijah. And we're going to see that this guy was a crazy guy after God. But a lot of people didn't like him. But he still did incredible things for the Lord. But before that, I want to play a simple video. If the guys have got it, we're going to play it. And it illustrates the point about praying dangerous prayers and how we got to be careful. So can we play that, Killian, instead of praying it? Here we go. Amen. So that is a true story, and we got to realize that we're praying to a God so much bigger than us, and that's a good thing. But we've got to be ready when we pray big prayers. There can be danger involved, but don't worry, God has it under control. So I want to read some verses this morning to encourage your hearts. Here's the first one. It's in James 5, 17, 18. I love the prophet Elijah. He will absolutely fry your mind with the things that he did. You won't believe it is true, but some of the things he was involved in were crazy. Listen to this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, what the Bible's trying to tell us is that he was a man no different than us. If he was a girl, he'd be a girl no different than you. He was no different to us. But listen to this. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens give rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, you could read those couple of verses and go, oh, that was great. And then you move on to the next one and go, when's this Bible reading time going to be over? Or you can stop and go, what? He prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and then suddenly he prayed again and it rained? I mean, we come from Northern Ireland. We love the weather. If people had this, we wouldn't see all the summers that we want. We'd see all the rain that we don't want. We would have all the answers to our prayers. But what on earth had Elijah got going on in his heart that he was able to pray earnestly and see it not rain for 3.5 years and it didn't? And then pray 3.5 years later and it did? What kind of guy was this? And yet the Bible turns around and says he was no different than any one of us. He had the same nature as any one of us. But what did he have in God? What was his relationship with God? What was going on inside of this guy that he was able to pray like this and he was able to stop rain for a nation? He was able to stop rain for a nation, stop rain for a country, stop rain for the whole whatever round about him for I don't know how many hundreds of miles. I mean, that is good stuff. That's kind of good praying right there. That's kind of radical praying right there. And that's exactly what God wants us to think about this morning. We can pray for all sorts of things. We can pray that our colds will go away, that we'll do well in this exam, and all those things are important. But what if we started to get to dangerous, huge, life-changing, nation-changing prayers like this, and God actually moved and did it? This is the place that we can have in God when we know his heart, when we know his will, when we know his voice. We can pray and believe, and we can literally see mountains moved, as we've talked about in the past. And so this morning, here's my question. How on earth does a normal guy like that, how on earth does a normal girl like that be able to pray like that and see those type of things happen? Here's my question for us. We got to look at his life. We've got to look at his life and go, what on earth did this guy do? Who did he pay? Well, who was he involved with? What did he do in his life to be able to pray like this and to see mountains move like this, to see this kind of movement from God? What did he do? Because I'm here this morning, I'm saying, God, I want to be like that. I want to be able to pray like that and see things like that happen. I want to pray about the small things and the big things and everyone else in between. And I want to see that kind of stuff take place because I know, God, you want to. I know, God, you're able. And I know, God, you're able to. God wants to move through our hearts. How willing, how available, how obedient will we be to him? We're going to learn this morning that Elijah was incredibly obedient in faith to God, and that's what transformed a lot of his life. So let's go to that story, and let's read what happens from this story from 1 Kings. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read what that couple of verses was all about. We're going to read kind of about it, and then we're going to read some verses before that and try to get a context of who on earth was this Elijah guy, and how do I become a bit more like him in my pursuit of becoming a bit more like Jesus. So this is what it says in 1 Kings 18, verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Ahab is an evil king. He's not a good king of the day. He says, go and eat and drink, for there's a sign of heavy rain." I mean, Elijah can hear rain. He can hear heavy rain. What is going on with this guy? So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down on the ground, put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go look towards the sea." And he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. "There is nothing there." Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you." Go down before the rain stops you. He's seen a cloud the size of a man's hand, but he knows the rain's going to come so hard that if his servant doesn't go now, it's going to stop him. So he says, "Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling from, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel." But then, listen to this last part. Don't miss this part. "Then the power of the Lord came on Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt. He ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." I mean, you thought Usain Bolt was fast. Elijah was way before him, way before him. He stuck this cloak in. I mean, we were like, why is he not, you know, he's not as cool as us, doesn't wear jeans, doesn't have all the stuff that we have. He tucked this cloak into his belt and he runs faster than Usain Bolt. I mean, you got to realize whenever God's power is on you, there is nothing impossible to you. And Elijah's a guy who hears rain, who has enough faith to believe when he sees rain, clouds the size of a man's hand, that the rain's going to stop his servant. So he says, "Go, go, 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 go before this rain gets you." And then before Elijah gets caught out, then God gives him supernatural strength to run like crazy so he can get ahead of the floods. Otherwise, he's going to be gone. I mean, what is going on here? We're reading this from God's word, and then sometimes we look at ourselves and we go, "I got to be really serious, because when I'm really serious, it proves I'm a really holy Christian." And God's saying, "Tuck your cloak in and let's start running a bit faster. Tuck your cloak in and start running a bit faster, because it's about a race in life. We're running towards the goal in Christ Jesus. We've got people to save. We've got people to tell about Jesus. We've got people to see healed. We've got transformation to take place in our nation." And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of our country, and I'm sick of our politics, and I'm sick of all the things involved with it. And I want us to start coming back to Jesus and seeing people saved and set free and revival take place in our land. And God says if we would maybe pull up our trousers a bit more, tuck in our socks, we could start to run like never before. And we start to see incredible things take place. But it starts with trusting God. It starts with doing, praying and believing and putting our faith in Jesus and watching what the Lord can do. And so this morning what we're going to do is, we're going to go right back to 1 Kings 17. We're going to take a brief account of who this Elijah guy was and how did he get there. And maybe look at three kind of keys that could affect our lives so we can start to be and act and pray and believe like Elijah did and see God do similar things in today and through us. So Elijah, over his life, we're not going to have time to read it all today, but this is what he does. Right at the beginning in 1 Kings 17, he says there's going to be no drought, and there's going to be a drought, and that was it. There was no rain. That was it. God told him, pray for that. He prayed for it in faith. There was no rain. Then after that, he has to flee. He gets away, and he goes to he meets this woman, and she's running out of all of her supplies. She's running out of all of her oil, and Elijah turns around, and he says, use the last that you have to make me something. And she's like, oh, what? I mean, we're going to starve to death. We're going to be so hungry. Elijah says, feed me. And then out of that, then she gets this oil that never runs out. Her son dies. Elijah raises him from the dead. I mean, he goes up to the Mount Carmel. He wipes out all these prophets. I mean, he shows that God is amazing. He comes to the end of it, and then we get to the point where we're just a moment ago, where Elijah just prays again, and it starts to rain 3.5 years later. This is an incredible guy of God, and this is a guy who we're going to look at this morning and hopefully learn some stuff. Here's the first thing I want us to learn this morning. Elijah learned to completely depend on God. He learned to completely depend on God. This is what it says in 1 Kings 17, verse 5, if we got this verse, hopefully. There we go. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. What has just happened is that Elijah has went to King Ahab. He's against God. He started bowing down to Baal. He's got all these other prophets. He should be bowing down to God. He should be worshiping God, but he's turned his back on God. He's become an evil king, and he's got an evil wife, and this is all they want to do. They're just against God. And so God tells Elijah, you've got to go tell the King Ahab, because of all that's going on, there's going to be no more rain. There's going to be no more rain, and there's going to be famine in the land. And so he tells this to the king, but then he tells the king also that until I speak again, then there'll be no rain that comes. So he's getting himself in hot water, and he's got to get out of there quick. And sometimes when we're following after God, we're going to get ourselves in hot water, but God's got a plan. So in verse 5, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. In other words, God said, you got to get out of there quickly. For he went instead by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Listen to this next verse, if we're just thinking that we can't miss this. It says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. What on earth? Every morning, these birds are coming along, and they're dropping off fresh meat, steaks, and they're dropping off fresh bread. And if that wasn't enough, they're coming at the nighttime, and they're dropping off fresh meat and fresh bread again. And then because he's thirsty, God says, right, there's a brook. And so he supplies all of his needs. And Elijah's sitting there going, I don't know if this was normal for him, but I'd be there freaking out going, what on earth? Birds are bringing me food. I mean, this is before Domino's deliveries. This is before drone supplies. I don't know. This is before all of that kind of stuff. And God was like, I'm way ahead of you. I'm way ahead of you. I use birds to bring food to people in the wilderness. And so God is here this morning, and sometimes we're like, what? Can God supply my needs? God won't even know where I am. You know, we're locked in our bedrooms, we're praying about something, we're earnestly seeking God, and we're like, God's not even going to know where I am. God knows exactly where you are. If he wanted to, he could get a blackbird to peck in the window and bring you a note. It's just, he could do this, because God knows where you are, and he's got a plan for your life, but he's trying to teach you something. And in this moment, God was trying to teach something to Elijah that would forever change the way that he prays. It would forever change the way that he would live. And from that moment forward, it would allow him to step into the destiny that God had got for him. See, sometimes what ends up happening in our lives is that God's trying to teach us dependence on him, but we think that God's punishing us. Sometimes God's trying to teach us dependence on him, but what we think is, where's God? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God stripping these things out of my life? Think about this. When we go to a new house, I don't know, you've seen those design programs. They go to a new house, and if it's an old house, it's been around for hundreds of years, then what the person's hoping is, if they're into this kind of stuff, they're hoping when they peel back the wallpaper, there might be some funky wallpaper behind that. They're hoping whenever they strip back the floorboards, that maybe there's some really cool oak floorboards underneath that somebody at one point didn't want anymore because they wanted to go paint them or something. But then the next person comes along, they're hoping that if they strip the floorboards back, maybe there's something beautiful underneath. And you see, God sometimes has to strip us back to let us see that there's something more beautiful underneath. Sometimes God has to strip us back, but we think of it as from the other perspective, because we don't know God's voice, because we're not tuned in with where God's trying to take us to, and we go, God's punishing me. Do you know what? I've had enough of God. If God's not for me, then I don't know what else. I'm going my own way. I'm leaving this behind. I'm going here instead of God. And we turn the opposite way. And God's trying to work in that situation. What he's really trying to achieve is greater dependence on him, because he knows the days are coming where you're going to need him in a different way. You're going to need to know him in a different way. And so Elijah comes to this really cool place, but for him it was a place of being stripped back. He came to a place, and yeah, it's brilliant that the ravens brought him fresh bread and fresh water, and there was fresh water from the brook, and there was bread, and there was meat every day. But this is not where he wanted to be. This is not where the great prophet Elijah wanted to be. But this is the place that God brought him to, because he needed to teach him something very, very important. And maybe you're in a place in your life this morning where you're like, I'm in a place where I feel like I'm being stripped back. I feel like there's a lot of things being taken away from me. Could it be, or might it be, that God's just changing a situation, or he's working in a circumstance to allow you to depend on him even better than before? Could it be that God wants to show you that you think you're valuable and that you've got valuable things at the moment, but what I really want on earth is greater value that's underneath? There's greater value underneath. We talk about the house analogy. The person thinks they've moved into a good house, but if they can find solid oak floorboards underneath, suddenly the value of the whole house has increased. Suddenly it's even better. That's far better than a laminate floor. Laminate floor might be more practical, might have been what the person put down before because it was handier, it's cheaper, easier to clean, easier to look after, but there's greater value underneath. But during the process, it's painful. But God's saying, hold on, because there's greater value underneath. And God in that moment taught something to Elijah that would forever stay with him, that would forever change him, that he would never be the same again. And maybe we're thinking to Elijah and going, I'd love to pray and it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. I'd love to pray and then it would rain again. Well, this is the process you got to go through. And the process is difficult at times. The process is hard at times, but there will be supernatural supply, which we saw with Elijah, and there'll be supernatural outcome because suddenly Elijah was able to move in a different way. And then, of course, in verse 7, listen what it says. And it happened after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain on the land. Now, think about it. From the two different perspectives, if you were against God at this point, if you were angry with God at this point, you were like, of course it is. I've prayed for it to be no rain, and now God's dried it up, and now I've got nothing to drink. But what was God really doing? He was saying, Elijah, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. Your lesson has been learned. It's time to go to the next place. It's time to go to the next place. And God is here this morning, and maybe he's caused something to dry up. Maybe he's caused supply to dry up. It's because he's bringing you to the next season, and you're ready for the next season. You've learned a lesson, and it's time to go. This is not wishful thinking. This is not positive thinking. This is the word of God. This is exactly what God said. He caused the brook to dry up because he had fresh plans for Elijah. It was time to move. He had learned what he needed to learn, and it's time to go to the next phase. It's time to go to the next stage in God. It was time to move on. He learned dependence on God in a new way, in a new level. Second thing this morning, Elijah prayed boldly for God-sized miracles. We've got to learn to pray boldly for God-sized miracles. If we don't pray for big things, we'll never see big things happen. It just makes perfect sense. But Elijah was learning to pray for bigger things, and God was putting him in positions where he had to believe for bigger things. And here's what it says in the verse. In 1 Kings 18 to 36 to 38, Elijah has come to Mount Carmel. It's just after he has come away from Brook Cherith. He comes to Mount Carmel, just after the widow, sorry. He comes to Mount Carmel, and here's all the prophets of Baal. And they're trying to mock God. They're trying to put God down. They're trying to lift up their God. King Ahab is all smug about it. He's all happy about it. And Elijah turns up to these prophets, and he says, you know what? We're going to run a test here. We're going to see what's going on. You think you're going to test my God? I'm going to show you that your God does not exist. He's not even close to my God. And so they set up this experiment, and they decide to set up an altar. And Elijah says, you go first. And so all these prophets, there's hundreds of them. They're all praying to their God, and they're saying, God, send fire, and the test will be whoever's God answers with fire. Doesn't even make sense. Whichever God answers with fire will prove who is the true God. Whichever God answers with fire. And so they go out, and they're praying, and they're seeking, and they're doing all the right things, and they're wailing out, and hours go by. It says they start to cut themselves. It says they start to hurt themselves. They're trying any means possible to get their God to answer by fire, and he will not answer because he cannot. And then Elijah says, enough, and we're going to read it. It says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 to 38, at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. See, Elijah, you got to read the story. Elijah made it so hard that in human terms, in practical terms, this fire could never happen. He put a water trench around it. He dosed it in water. He did everything he could just to let everybody see, don't you worry, my God's going to come and do something spectacular. And Elijah actually put himself in a position where only God could do it. Imagine if we started to put ourselves in positions sometimes where we know only God can do this. Because by faith, we've stepped into this new thing. Maybe it's like a vision. God's given us a vision for a future. God's given us a vision for something new. And we step into it and we say, we're going to do this. It's a bit like our building at the minute. I'm calling it our building. We looked next door. We said, there's a building for sale. Let's make it ours. We've stepped into prophetically what we believe God's given us before we've even got it. And now we've put ourselves in a position where God's going to have to do something because we can't do it. And so he's either going to have to give us something else or he's going to have to give it to us. Because God is incredible and God is amazing. But we're putting ourselves into a position of faith where we have to pray God-sized prayers where there's no holding back. Elijah's got himself in a place where there's hundreds of prophets looking at him. The king's looking at him. There's those other people looking at him. And he's not even sweating. He's already smiling because he knows that his God answers by fire. He knows he's fully dependent on God. He's seen the ravens feed him. He's seen the God give oil that never run out. He's seen a boy raised from the dead. Is this too hard for God? No way. Absolutely no way. And so we've got to be here this morning. We've got to be real. There'll be tests and there'll be trials. There'll be things that God will bring us through to help us get to the place that we can fulfill the vision and the call that God's got in our lives for His glory. Because, by the way, it's for His glory and He needs it to happen. And if we're not willing for it to happen through us, then He'll step us aside and He'll bring somebody else in. And so what are the lessons that God is trying to teach us? What are the ways that God is trying to grow us? Because He wants all of us to be able to pray like that. He wants all of us to be able to believe like that and see incredible things happen. Here's what I believe that Elijah knew. Because of his experiences, he knew that God actually answered prayer. And I think seriously this morning that a lot of the times we don't pray with the earnest, with the fervency that we need and with the intent that we need and with the faith that we need. It's because we don't believe that God's going to answer that. We just can't see it. We just can't see how God can answer that. Maybe He hasn't done it before, so we just can't see how He will do it. And I want to encourage you this morning that faith says, I know that God can answer this. I know that God can do this. I know that He can. Not because I know He can do that situation, because I know Him. I know that nothing's impossible for Him. I know that He can do absolutely anything and everything. And so this morning, we've got to truly believe that God can do big things before we can pray for big things. Elijah knew God's voice. He knew God's voice. And so he could pray for rain to not come, and he could pray for rain to come because he knew what God had already said. Here's the thing about our relationship with God. It is a relationship. We should know His voice. See, if we want to pray big prayers, if we even want to pray small prayers, if we want to see God answer our prayers, we've got to know what He needs us to pray. We've got to know what He needs us to pray. We've got to know His voice. And so maybe our first prayer is this: God, let me know Your voice. Let me hear Your voice. Now, what does the Word say? My sheep know my voice. No other voice will they follow. They don't want to listen to any other voice. They only want to listen to my voice. We already have that built into us. We already have that built into us. And so the call of God on our lives this morning, if nothing else, is to say, God, what are You saying to me? How would You like me to pray? Imagine if we come to our prayer times. I mean, so many times people don't come to prayer times. You know why? Because they've got nothing to pray about. Why is that? How can that be? Because if we ask God, He would tell us umpteen things. He would tell us thousands of things, hundreds of things, millions of things. So many times we don't come to prayer times because we're like, oh, I've got no big deals happening in my life right now. I've got no big wants. I've got no big needs. We go around in a circle sometimes and go, hey, anybody need any prayer today? No, I'm all good. Any things you need prayer for? No, I'm all good. Maybe we need to ask God, what do we need to pray about? Elijah wanted to know what God needed him to do. So he asked him. He says, God, what do You need me to do? And God started to tell him. He says, God, what do You need me to pray? And God started to tell him. See, one of the best ways that we can pray is agreement to God's word. Maybe it's just the best way. It's when we know what God needs us to do and we pray that in agreement. God loves that. He loves us when we pray in agreement to the things that He's already said. And so how do we know those? Well, we can either get a fresh word from God or we can turn to His word and we can say, Lord, I know what You said. I know what You said. I know that You never change. I know that You're the same yesterday and forever. I know it's Your desire to see everybody saved. I know it's Your desire for that. So I can pray for anybody to get saved and believe for that. I know it's His desire. I know it's His desire to see the sick walk or to see the sick healed. I know it's for the lame to walk. I know it's for the blind eyes to open. So I can pray for all of those things in faith because I know God's word said that. And so this morning, we've got to take the word of God. We've got to take, if it's an active word in our minds and we know it, maybe it's a word from somebody else, maybe it's a word from His word, and we just bring it and we say, God, do it again. We agree with that. We align with You and we agree together. Elijah knew how to do that. And then the third thing is this, and we're going to be done in a few minutes because I know our time is going. But the third thing is this, Elijah never stopped praying until he saw the answer. Here's the saddest thing when we pray, is because we don't know what God wants us to pray, then we pray kind of not fully sure. And then because we're not fully sure, when it doesn't happen, we're like, well, it mustn't have been for me. Mustn't be what God wants me to do. Mustn't be what God wanted me to pray. Mustn't be what's going to happen. Maybe I should change. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. See, one of the best ways that the enemy can get us is when we pray is to put doubts in us, is to put seeds of doubt in our prayers. So it undermines what we say. It undermines what we have faith for. It undermines what we can believe for. And God is here this morning. He's saying, I want you to know my word so you know what to pray for. I want you to know my word so you have confidence to stand in your prayers. I want you to know that I'm for you and not against you. I want you to know that God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because God has given us our heart. He gave us a brand new heart when we got saved. So therefore, He can say, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So what are the desires of your heart? And we need to start praying for them. And then when we don't see them happening, we keep persistent in our prayers. We keep believing in our prayers because we know what God has said, and we will not be moved from that, because no other voice do we want to listen to, because no other voice do we recognize, because we are sheep and we only listen to his voice, because he is our shepherd and he is good. And so let's drill into this verse for just a couple of moments, and then we're going to be done. It says, Elijah went to the mountain. He got on his knees and he prayed. And he said to his servant, go out and see, do you see anything happening? He says, there's nothing happening. I mean, he's with his friend. Think about this for just a moment. He said to his friend, they're probably jollying up the mountain. They're like, we're going to see God move today. We're going to see great things happening. He goes up with his servant. He tells his servant to go out while the great Elijah is praying. And the servant comes back and says, nothing. How did the great Elijah feel at that moment? Nothing's just happened. He says, go again, go again, go again. Now, we read it really fast and we go, oh, the seventh time God did it. But how did Elijah feel on the fourth time? Maybe even the third time? Maybe the fifth time, the sixth time? How did he feel in those moments? Did he keep believing? Did he keep praying? Did he keep going? Of course he did. And I want to encourage us this morning, when we know God's voice and we know that God is for us and not against us, we've got to keep persistent in our prayers, because we know that God's going to come through. See, Elijah knew this. He said, there's no doubt. I'm phoning a number that I've phoned before. There's no doubt. I know that God answers this one. I know that what God has said. I know what God has told me. I'm not doubting in this one. I know I'll get through. How frustrating is it sometimes when you go to somebody's house and you know that they're there, but they won't let you in? You're like, ah! You're like, what? What are you trying to do to me? What are you trying to do to me? Let me tell you a funny story about this. There's a guy that I do work for and do his website. And for some reason, he always wanted to come around 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I do not want to start working at 8 o'clock in the morning. I want to get a shower. I want to do something else. I do not want to see this guy at 8 in the morning. He would come at 5 to 8. He would come at 7:30. He would come all sorts of times. And he would wait at the gates. And he would start beeping his horn. And he'd start ringing my phone. And everything's going. I'm like, I am not letting this guy in. Never, ever, ever am I letting this guy in. So I was strong on it. I was like, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. But you know what? He was persistent to the point where I got to, I'm going to let this guy in. And I let him in. God is so much bigger than us, but what is he trying to teach you in your persistence? To be persistent in your prayers. What is he trying to teach you? Keep faithful. Keep believing. Do you really believe for this? Do you really believe for this? Because the outcomes are going to be strong. The outcomes are going to be different. They're going to affect you. So are you going to believe for this? Are you going to keep praying? Are you going to keep in faith on this? Elijah's prayers, he kept praying, he kept believing, he kept asking God, and he would not give up even when he got no response. And I want to ask you the question this morning, how do we feel whenever we pray to God and we get no response? Do we always give up on the first try and then we go, that's it, we must have heard wrong from God? Imagine if Elijah had a thought that, would it have rained again? Would we still be going, why has it not rained over there? Would we still be wondering? Or would it have been 4 years instead of 3.5 years? Would it have been 5 years? Because maybe it would have took a guy to come up to speed, or it took a girl to come up to speed that could have believed for that. And so this morning I want to encourage you, and we're done. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and we're going to finish with a song. But I want to encourage you this, is that what would have happened if Elijah had given up? What would have happened if it had given up? How much longer would people have had to wait for the rain? How much longer would a nation had to have waited for something to take place? And God is saying this morning that you might have to pray one time, two times, three times, four times. You might even have to pray 7 times. And then in faith, you might have to look at the small thing and go, God's there. Because think about this. Elijah prays 7 times. The servant goes out 7 times. And even when he comes back on the 7th time, what does he see? He just sees a cloud as small as a man's hand. But that was enough for Elijah. He was like, that's it. God's moving. God's moving. And so you know what it reminds me of? Of Philip that we're praying for. We're praying for him. Nothing's happening. We're seeing no outcomes. But suddenly, just last week, we see his eyes start to flicker. I'm like, something's happening. We've seen a cloud the size of a man's hand. Something is going to take place. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've started to see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And you're thinking, come on, let's believe for this. I want to encourage you, yes, believe for this. Because God's going to send rain so big and so hard, it's going to flood a nation. And so what are we believing for, and what are we needing God to do in our lives this morning? Can we stand together? We're going to pray. We're going to stand and pray and believe. We're going to say, God, what are you trying to do in me? Elijah took up his cloak and he ran faster than Usain Bolt. I love that. He's just brilliant. But what is God trying to do through you that maybe he's asking you to pray harder than ever before? Pray with more consistency and more perseverance than ever before. What's God asking you to do? And maybe he's having to strip a few things back. He's maybe having to strip a few things back from your life. What's God trying to do in your life? Because maybe he wants you to start to pray bigger and greater prayers than ever before. Maybe God-sized prayers. What is God trying to do in our hearts? This is what I want to encourage us with. And before we pray, I'm going to let Tracy share just for a moment.
God's really shifted me out of my comfort zone with this one. We prayed last week, and we gave to Women's Aid last week. That was a really big thing for me, guys, and I want to thank you on behalf of Women's Aid on that one. Darren said about being stripped back. I came through a time when God really stripped me back in my life, where I came through abuse, and God brought me to Women's Aid to rebuild me again. And it was in that weakness and in that vulnerability that he brought me back to him. And I just wanted to ask you guys for prayer. God has really put in my heart a vision for healing within vulnerable women and vulnerable families within Armagh. I've started a counselling course to fulfil his vision. And I just want to pray, guys, that yous will really bring this vision to pass. It's a hard vision. And it's something that within me I'm still struggling with, because I know I'm still sitting in a vulnerable place myself. So can I just ask for prayer, and that God will raise his Holy Spirit all over this, and that it'll just come to pass. Thank you.
So we're gonna pray for Tracy Nice. If you can, stretch out your hand. If you're close by, come and lay your hand on her, like Chris and all. Lord, we just thank you this morning for simple obedience. We thank you this morning, Lord, for boldness. And this is what we've been praying for and talking about and learning about, that we can come boldly before your throne. Lord, this is an example of that, coming boldly. Full of fear, full of, just doubts and worries, but just coming boldly because we know what God said. And that's faith. And so, Lord, I pray that you would honor Tracy's faith, Lord. You would honor her heart, Lord. You would honor her, just what you've put on her, Lord. And we'd ask you to bring it to pass. This is not her idea. This is yours, Lord. That's why she's, like, nervous about it, because it's so big. This is only God can do it. Lord, only you can do it. And so, Lord, I ask you to come and do what only you can do, Lord. I ask you to come and grow her in every area that you need her to grow in. I ask you, Lord, to send the people that she needs to help her in this, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to mold her and shape her into the person she needs to be for this, Lord. You've got her on a journey, and there are no limits to the things you're going to do. And so, Lord, we just ask you this morning, Lord, for supernatural supply, Lord, supernatural wisdom, supernatural vision, Lord, supernatural everything, because this is a supernatural vision, and it can only be achieved in that way. So, Lord, come and bless her beyond belief, more than ever before. Help her, encourage her, and lift her up in your precious, glorious name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.